Welcome to the Board of Public Works. Today is January 25th, 2012. We have a little presentation up front. We have Mayor Josh Cohen, Alderman Ross Arnett from the City of Annapolis, the capital city, and what they want to talk to us about a project important to them, namely the National Sailing Hall of Fame. Then we have the Hope-a-thon that immediately follows this, where we talk about school construction investments, which not only create jobs, but it creates a much more highly skilled workforce for our future. So let me ask the Comptroller or the Treasurer if they have any opening thoughts, comments, concerns.
Governor, thank you. Treasurer Kopp, I'm happy to say that I recovered from a little bout with the flu over the weekend, and I want to thank everybody who inquired about my health. Some people actually wanted me to recover. Some said, take it easy, you can stay in bed for Wednesday if you'd like, but appreciate that I'm feeling much better, but I have not recovered from the Ravens' loss. I think we were robbed, and it was a very disappointing loss, but a tremendous season. And the only thing I really take away from that game is the emergence of Joe Flacco as an indisputably great quarterback. And it's a great event. I hope next year they're back in the playoffs and headed to the Super Bowl. Sadly, as a Redskins fan, I'm not quite as confident for them. But at previous board meetings, we've discussed many challenges facing our great state, and we acknowledge now the resilience and dynamism of our fellow Marylanders who want us to see us get on a road to a more vibrant, sustained economy, better employment, better housing prices, better consumer confidence in the days and weeks and years ahead. One way we can help assure, in my opinion, that happens is by passing during this legislative session a bill requiring the mandatory completion of a 6-week standalone financial literacy course for all public high school seniors in Maryland. As you know, I strongly believe that providing our seniors with a comprehensive course that teaches the basics about credit cards, compound interest, and checkbook balancing, and the benefits of savings, we can better prepare them for the financial challenges that await them. I've been thankful for the words of support from my fellow board members, Governor and Madam Treasurer, and now I'm very proud that thousands of Marylanders seem to agree with us. During the coming weeks, I'll be talking with senators and delegates and delivering a petition signed by more than 10,000 Marylanders who have come forth to publicly agree that young people today need to learn about finance, about budgeting, saving, interest, credit, and the way the economy works in a large sense, and the way their household budgeting works in a very personal sense for every individual and family. The signatures include teachers and parents, business leaders, consumer advocates, most importantly, the students themselves. All have seen the devastating impact to our families and communities from the lack of financial awareness, and all agree that Maryland needs to act now to better prepare our youth and our state for any future financial pitfalls and recession. I think it's only fitting that we mention financial literacy on a day that we'll be discussing how to spend hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars on school construction projects. Thank the governor for making this a priority, financial literacy. I certainly hope that the IAC and this board and the local education authorities continue to work together to ensure that we're spending taxpayer dollars wisely as we build and fix and refurbish schools. I'm hoping while we determine how we can best meet the needs of our school children, families, and communities, we'll be able to discover innovative ways schools are working with the resources they have and even doing more with less, doing better with less, which is always a focus I would like to spotlight. Often it's the small measures taken to prolong the life of a building that make all the difference in the world to the students and staff in a school. I look forward to hearing from the systems the steps they're taking to ensure the projects our tax dollars fund are not just state-of-the-art, when they're first built, but that they're also maintained to the highest standards year in and year out. We should all be proud to live in a state with talented and determined students and highly qualified and dedicated teachers and support staff. We must do our best to give them the best facilities we can and impart upon them the skills and tools they need to ensure their future success, as well as the future success of Maryland. Thank you, Mr. Governor and Madam Treasurer. I look forward to another round of spirited discussions and substantive actions by this board.
Madam Treasurer?
Well, just one moment quiet contemplation. 2 weeks ago, you mentioned, Peter Comptroller, the loss of Nancy Murphy, late delegate from the 12th District. And then last week, her colleague, our former colleague, Kenny Masters, of the 12th District, also passed. I want to say that Ken Masters and I never agreed on a whole lot of things, but he was a good colleague. He read legislation like no one, except maybe Don Robertson did, really studied hard, worked hard, and was a major addition for a number of years, a major part of the Maryland House of Delegates. And a good friend, although I think the comptroller and I agreed with each other a great deal more than we did with a delegate Masters, but vice chairman of the Judiciary Committee and just a very good, outstanding man and another citizen of the 12th Legislative District.
I believe he was a majority leader at one point, or he had some kind of a leadership position, and I agree with you. He's a major figure, and sorry to see his passing.
And interested in the fact that, in fact, it turned out he was a bird watcher, and tributes in his name may be sent to the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, which was interesting insight into Kenny Masters. And that's all I have, Governor.
All right. We want to hear from Mayor Cohen. Mayor Cohen, I'm the
This will be item 10LL on the Department of General Service agenda. Maybe Deputy Secretary Lansing can introduce the item to explain what the item is. And
land space, 50 years duration, and the mayor is going to do a presentation.
Thank you. Good morning, Governor, members of the board. I'm here with my colleague from the Annapolis City Council, Alderman Moss Arnett, as well as three individuals with the Sailing Hall of Fame, the board chair, Dick Franio, the secretary and treasurer, Doug Lashley, and the day-to-day director, Lee Tawney. And so my message before you this morning is very simple, which is that the City of Annapolis remains very supportive of the Sailing Hall of Fame down at City Dock. As you all know, a couple years ago when this lease was first before the board, there was a deadline of a couple years by which the Hall of Fame needed to raise the money. Even though they haven't raised the full amount of what their target was, they're complying with the lease in every other respect. Just one anecdotal example is this past summer, I visited there because they brought a bunch of kids from South River High School, the STEM program. And one of the interesting ironies about growing up in this area is that despite the fact that we have so much shoreline, there are so many kids, as you know, who don't get on the water, who don't really appreciate the maritime heritage. And so the Sailing Center and Hall of Fame is more than just a museum where you go in and look at busts of sailors. It really is trying to breathe new life into sailing and make it real for the next generation coming up. They've done a lot just in this short time. Most recently, they held their first induction of the first class over in San Diego, and it includes some household names like Dennis Conner and Ted Turner, and that in turn has really helped, as the Hall of Fame folks can attest, that has helped make the Hall of Fame much more real of a concept nationwide in the sailing community. So that's a brief message I have. There's a presentation that I believe you have. It shows some of the activities they've done. I'd like to, with your permission, ask my colleague Alderman Arnett to say a few words, and then the Staling Hall of Fame folks are here if you have any questions. All right, Alderman Arnett.
Thank you. Thank you for hearing us, and I support the extension. In addition to the validity of the, pardon me, Ross Arnett? Sorry, Alderman Mordate, City of Annapolis. In addition to the validity of the Staling Hall of Fame in its own right, you should know that the city is embarking on a program of revitalizing the entire city dock area, and this will be a linchpin to that. And so we hope that they will be successful in overcoming the economic uncertainties of our time and that we can move together for a more global picture of downtown.
Governor Comptroller? Are we giving them enough time to... I'm very supportive. I want to see it happen, but I'm just curious as to whether we shouldn't give them enough of a cushion that people don't have to come back here.
If you don't mind, I'd like to ask the Hall of Fame folks to address that.
Great.
That's okay.
Hi, my name is Lee Taney, Executive Director of the National Staling Hall of Fame. Mr. Controller, we believe in the time that we've been given by this extension that we can do this.
Assistant Secretary Kristen Saunders-Evans from the Department of Natural Resources is here, and she might be able to better explain the state's position in this request for an extension of the lease.
Good morning, members of the board. Kristen Saunders-Evans from DNR. I saw you 2 years ago to approve this, the original lease, and DNR has been working closely with the Staling Hall of Fame, monitoring their progress on the lease terms. When they came to us asking for an extension, Mr. Comptroller, we asked them that very question. How much time do you need? Because we don't really want to have to keep coming back to the Board of Public Works for additional extensions. They felt comfortable at that time that 3 years was enough of an opportunity for them to get their solid fundraising campaign on the ground. And they've hired Odell Sims, which is a very prominent Washington fundraising firm. They have a great deal of confidence in that firm, as Lee is prepared to talk to you about some of the other fundraising that they've been doing nationally. And the dollar amounts far exceed what the Staling Hall of Fame folks are looking for here. So based on that information, we came forward with the request for the three-year extension. My understanding is that the existing interim lease does expire at the end of February, and so we wanted to get this item to the board prior to that expiration date, and we feel comfortable with that three-year time frame. Certainly, it's the board's discretion if you want to grant them more time. I would just say that the documents need to be executed in advance of that February 24th time frame in order for us to stay current on the existing interim lease. So I hope that answers your question. I'm happy to answer.
I'm very supportive of the project. Sure. I just want to make sure that we're not, obviously it's tough times to raise money. Philanthropic dollars are hotly competed for. So
yes.
If this is your pleasure, I'm happy, or the sailing museums, I'm happy to support it.
Any other questions for me? I know the board is here with a presentation if you'd all like to see it, depending on the time frame that you have.
Go ahead and click through.
You want to do it?
Sure, Lee.
Okay, gentlemen, Madam Treasurer, I'd just like to take a short moment and give you a snapshot of what we've been doing with your property in the city of Annapolis. In this past, as you may recall, Walter Cronkite passed away. He was our honorary chair, and this past year, Morgan Freeman agreed to become the chair of our honorary advisory board. And he's a big sailor, and we're delighted to have him on board, literally and figuratively, and we hope to get him to Annapolis very soon. As the mayor indicated, we had our first induction ceremony in San Diego. The next one will be in New Orleans. It reflects our national reach of the National Sailing Hall of Fame here in Annapolis. The mayor referred to the Learning Math and Science Through Sailing program, and over the last 2 years, we've got over 500 students through the Burtis House down at City Dock as part of our relationship with Anne Arundel County Public Schools and their STEM program. In addition to that, we have included and involved folks from Sojourner Douglas, the Center for Applied Technology, and the Stanton Center as well, getting those kids on boats and out sailing on the Chesapeake Bay. As part of all this, we've created a national consortium of learning math and science through sailing. And Governor, perhaps the Governor's Association would be interested in some of this activity. We have over 55 groups from around the country that are involved in that with us. We do navigation classes at the Burtis House, the building at City Dock, and with middle school students, and we'll continue to do that. We run a marine and maritime career fair sponsored jointly with Eastport Yacht Club and Anne Arundel County Public Schools. We had 300 participants last year, and we're anticipating more this February. And we've created a partnership with NASA and Discovery. Discovery is the largest provider of curriculum material, virtual curriculum material, to schools across the country, and they want to work with us in providing that information. At the Sailing Center, at the dock, we have gotten over 1,700 people out on boats. 75% of them have never sailed before. And again, as both the mayor and Ross have alluded to, the idea here is to get as many people on boats as possible. We've displayed 27 classic boats and 29 classic boats during the last 2 years. And, Governor, we hope we're working closely with the mayor to enhance the 1812 celebration in June of this year with some additional boats down there. We've created a classic boat rendezvous and race both last year and this year, again, tracking boats all over the of the bay, and we've created a partnership with Annapolis Race Week. The Annapolis Race Week used to be tucked away at the Annapolis Yacht Club. Now it's front and center at for the public at City Dock. We're also planning for a Capitol Hill regatta involving members of Congress and the U.S. Naval Academy Midshipmen sometime in the near future, and we're working with the mayor right now to have the first annual city fair at City Dock in Annapolis. The other dimension of what we're doing is the sailing contribution to the American experience. So we're calling attention to sailing in American painting. You go on our website, we see that. I'm a refugee from English literature, so you can see an exhibition of sailing in American literature with Thoreau, Twain, Cummings, John Barth.
And what's the Thoreau quote?
What's the Thoreau quote?
It's right there. The sail, the play of its pulse, so like our own thighs, so thin and yet so full of life, so noiseless when it labors hardest, so noisy and impatient when least effective.
I like that one.
You like that?
Yeah, I like
I'll,
that
I'll get you a copy.
Oh, you needn't. You may hear it in the State of the State shortly.
It's right in there, Mr. Governor. Okay. Walter Cronkite gave us his collection of books. So, and there's a group of people who Tom Morris created the Morris yachts, and a group of people were raising $1 million for us to create the Tom Morris Library. So we have his collection, and it's up virtually now. We're also involved in American Women in Sailing Story Project and collecting stories of American women across the country and posting them. Several people may not be in the Hall of Fame. Albert Einstein was a sailor, as was, of course, JFK and Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall, and FDR, so we want to call attention to them. We have a film library that calls attention to the history of sailing and the yacht club stories from all around the country as well. At the end of the day, we'd like Ken Burns to do a film on sailing's contribution to the American experience. We're also doing an exhibition of New Yorker covers going back to 1924, the same with Sports Illustrated. And I'm ending with a quote here, which I won't take your time, but the controller heard it when we were down in St. Mary's County. It's John F. Kennedy's quote about sailing and its association with us as human beings. So thank you for letting us use your property. I think we're trying to be good stewards of it. We look forward to working with you in the future, not only for the sailing, but for the environmental stewardship of the Chesapeake Bay.
You can read the JFK quote. I think it's terrific.
Would you like me to do that? I really don't know why it is that all of us are so committed to the sea. except I think it is because, in addition to the fact that the sea changes and the light changes and ships change, it's because we all come from the sea. And it is an interesting biological fact that all of us have in our veins the exact same percentage of salt in our blood that exists in the ocean. And therefore, we have salt in our blood, in our sweat, in our tears. We are tied to the ocean. And when we go back to the sea, whether it is to sail or to watch it, we are going back to whence we came.
Thanks, Steve. Okay. Well, that's the Nature and Literary Corner has been brought to you today by the good people of the city of Annapolis. So this item is up on Controller moves approval. Treasurer seconds. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed. Unanimous again, Mayor, just like all your tough votes. Thank you. Okay, what do we do now? Secretary's agenda?
Secretary's agenda. Good morning, Governor. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, we have 13 items on the Board of Public Works Secretary's agenda. There are 5 reports of emergency procurements. Item 1 is the school construction program capital improvement program for fiscal year 2013, which we will hold until the end of the meeting. So I'm asking you to vote or discuss on 12 items of 5 emergencies.
Okay. Any questions on the Secretary's agenda?
Madam Treasurer, you asked for the Monaco thing to be deferred.
And I appreciate
okay.
This
is item 10?
Yeah.
Great. I didn't mean to bring it up. I just wanted to make
no,
sure.
No, I appreciate yeah. The.
So item 10 is being deferred?
No, item 10 is an item that was deferred last time clarify the position of the Department of Natural Resources and an allusion to what sort of permit different people had at different times, and it's been clarified, and I think we're satisfied, and thank you.
Okay.
There was no cost in the deferral.
Correct. There's no cost in the deferral.
Yes, Governor, if
yes,
I could ask one of the appendix items.
Appendix
3 is a procurement for the military department.
I know Ms. Catherine Kelly is here from the military department, and she, I know she has somebody with her. If you could come up and introduce yourselves. This is an emergency procurement for food services for the students at the Free State Challenge Academy, which is located up at the Aberdeen Proving Ground. So if you could introduce yourself for the record, and the comptroller has questions for you.
Lieutenant Colonel Ronald, you're retired.
Terrific. No, I came and spoke, I think, a year and a half ago at your graduation. Was very impressed with what Major General Jim Atkins had done and your staff, and I'm very supportive of the Youth Corps mission. Fact that you can support our young people even while you're engaged in combat and other important missions is very commendable. It's a great program. I was very struck by your success with getting young people to be serious about the future.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor.
Anything else on the Secretary's agenda?
Is this where the Howard County...
Yes, we do have...
there's someone here
Mr.
from
Mr. Cousins is here from Howard County. Item 4 is an interesting item. Mr. Cousins, if you want to come to the podium. The continuing approval from the Board of Public Works of this year's allocation of supplemental appropriations from the alcohol beverage tax. Howard County had come with their request for school construction allocation in October 5th. And they have now come, and the board approved what was recommended by Howard County, but Howard County has now come back and asked that we reallocate or redesignate the money. And the comptroller may have questions. Mr. Cousins, you want to explain the request?
Yes, I do. The request was originally for two turf fields. It was taken back to the Board of Education. They were concerned that there had not been a public discussion of that. And so the board took a subsequent vote which approved the two turf fields along with some other minor changes to the original request.
Great. I just want to make sure that you all think that the two turf fields are priority projects.
Yes, they are.
More important than classrooms and roofs and other things.
Well, we have in our operating budget, we have funds for those type of replacements, and we were looking for eligible projects for the funds that were available.
Okay, just check it. Okay. Thank you.
Could you, though, for the record, just to clarify, because I think the comptroller raises a point that others have wondered about offhand, the turf fields don't seem like that high a priority. But it's my understanding that, first of all, there is the benefit of having fields and therefore students not having to travel distances to other schools. Is that right?
That is part of the reason for the turf fields. They can get higher use. We are working collaboratively with our Department of Recreation and Parks also to schedule the use of fields and to involve the community in the process as well.
So it's a question of community use, year-round use, and requiring less travel on the part of
yes.
a lot of youngsters.
That's true. And we're working, I said, with Recreation and Parks and the County Council to make sure that we come up with a joint use agreement that will govern the use of those fields. We haven't reached that stage yet. We just have a preliminary agreement, which is about lights and the days of usage and so forth.
I hope the agreement about lights will include the energy efficiency and some provision against having the light simply light up the heavens, that actually be very useful.
Yeah, we'll make sure that is the case, because some of these fields are located in residential neighborhoods. And
I'm sure the residents will appreciate.
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Right, so we are approving the secretary's agenda with the exception. Isn't this where the school?
The exception of item one, correct.
So the secretary's agenda with the exception of item one. Controller moves approval, seconded by the treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. All opposed, the ayes have it. We now move on to Department of We move on to Department of Natural Resources.
Correct. Ms. Ward is here.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Comptroller. Today we have one item on our agenda. We're here to answer any questions that you have.
What's this?
Do you want to ask for a deferment on one of these, Mr. Controller?
What agency are we on?
I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. This is any questions on Department of Natural Resources? Anyone? It's 1106, Controller. Be okay? Move approval, seconded by the treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The ayes have it. We now move on to the Department of Budget Management.
Madam Treasurer, Mr. Controller, good morning. There are eight items on the Department of Budget Management's agenda for today, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Mr. Controller.
Yes, on the supplemental item, Madam Secretary, item 8S, I note that DBM is recommending award of a five-and-a-half-year, $2.4 billion pharmaceutical benefits
yes.
contract to Express Scripts. Express Scripts, a St. Louis-based firm. I guess this is the contract we deferred last year in order to allow the incumbent vendor's protest before the Board of Contract Appeals to be resolved, and now it appears that that protest has been denied.
Correct.
I can appreciate the anxiety on the part of the successful vendor to receive this contract award. It's an extraordinary amount of money. unusually complex contract that requires adequate transition time. I don't bear any animosity or have any real knowledge about ESI, the winning company, which appears to be a nationally known vendor and is well regarded, but I happen to think it's not appropriate to ask this board to consider an award of this dollar amount and one with such far-reaching implications for our state workforce as a supplemental late item. And I don't mean to get down in the weeds, but my staff didn't receive this agenda item or the 70-page opinion from the State Board of Contract Appeals that serves as the basis for today's recommendation to award until Friday morning, long after the rest of the board's agenda had been prepared and reviewed by my staff. So I'm appealing to my colleagues to see, because of the workload that we have today with the school construction program, whether it wouldn't make sense to the taxpayers if we deferred this for several weeks so at least my staff could sort through the decision by the Board of Contract Appeals. And then,
what do you think? That's fair. That's a big one.
Governor, it's fine with me. I have had the opportunity since Friday to go through this opinion several times. As far as I'm concerned, it upholds the original proposal, and I'm ready to go with it. But if you want to take a couple of weeks in a multi-$100 million contract, we're only going to lose a million or two by postponing it, as I understand.
$2.6 million. In savings. Certainly, I understand the comptroller's request. Obviously, we brought this to the board as a supplemental item. We issued it in accordance with the deadline for the submission of supplemental items. Mr. Comptroller, the material that's here really isn't any different from what was presented to the board back in March of last year. We believe that moving forward with this contract expeditiously really is in the best interest of the state for several reasons. The contract is projected to provide $102 million in savings to the state over the contract term, $16 million in the first plan year. Moving forward with the start date of May 1st, will save the state approximately $2.6 million for the 2 months that are remaining in this fiscal year. For that reason, we thought that that was certainly sufficient to basically get underway and get this contract approved by the board, if that was your desire. The contract that is before you just provides for a 90-day transition period, which will ensure that the transition goes smoothly and that there's no disruption of services. Again, I would reiterate that ESI was unanimously selected for this award after a thorough and fair procurement. The board did recommend that it go to the Board of Contract Appeals. The board reviewed it over a period of 10 months, and they issued their statement on January the 11th, which essentially said that the appeal was denied.
So you're in favor of letting me look at this for two more weeks or not?
I think what she said was the secretary said that given the dollars at stake, she'd like to go forward today. I understand that you were ill over the weekend, and it is a 75-page opinion on a very large contract, although I will say I don't think there's been any matter of procurement that's taken more time of this administration than this one has, or I think there's seldom been one before the board that's been heard as many times, as many different ways as this one had. The incumbent company is a strong and reputable and good Maryland company, and for that reason, as you'll recall, we gave them every opportunity of due process to make their argument fully at the Board of Contract Appeals. But, Mr. Comptroller, I mean, none of us schedule when we get the flu, and if you need another 2 weeks to review a contract this big, I think we're inclined to accede to your request.
Thank you, Governor.
So the comptroller moves for a 2-week deferral?
Well, to the next board meeting.
When is that?
2 weeks, February 8th.
Okay. So the controller moves that this be deferred. Seconded by the treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. And please make, if you could make sure that your staff is available to the controller to answer any questions he has whenever he may have them about. And also, is there anyone here from the Attorney General's office who's been involved in this matter?
We have someone from the Attorney General's office. We have someone from ESI. If there are questions.
Where's the person from Attorney General's office?
Bruce Martin is the principal counsel for the Department of Budget Management.
Mr. Martin, would you please make yourself available to the controller over the course here as he has questions about the 75-page opinion?
Absolutely, Governor.
Including any proprietary things, redactions, things of that nature. I noticed in there that there were blacked-out sections when it got into the proprietary aspects of the pricing. Can you touch on that for just a second on the record?
Yes, Governor. The redacted material is, as you say, confidential proprietary information, which under the procurement law and the Public Information Act is not supposed to be disclosed publicly. There's a motion filed with the Board of Contract Appeals so that what they officially issue would have those redactions. They haven't ruled yet. Presumably, if they do rule that those redactions should remain in there, so that the publicly issued opinion will have that blacked out portion, then we would be very careful about making sure that only the redacted opinion goes out to the public. But members of the Board of Public Works, of course, are entitled to see that information.
So make sure the controller and the rest of us get that right away, okay?
And the procurement advisor as well?
And the procurement advisor.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks very much.
Excellent. Thank you. I could ask a question while you're here. And thank you, Governor, for that, because I thought we were looking at top-secret documents, and Pentagon papers or something, so I'm glad it doesn't have anything to do with the Taliban, but I'm looking forward to getting that information. I'm also a little concerned about some kind of an agreement that's floating out there, which could be described as not a gag order, at least something like it, where the companies involved have been asked to sign some kind of an agreement that prevents them from communicating with, take it, members of the board and others about any concerns that are raised in this contract.
Well, as you say, sir, that is not a gag order. There was an agreement reached between Catalyst and the Department of Budget and Management back in March at the time that we were negotiating an extension of their current contract. So as part of that agreement, there were direct negotiations between Secretary Foster and the CEO of Catalyst. And through those negotiations, there was an understanding reached that the main issue that, or the main desire of Catalyst was to have their concerns fully vetted before the Board of Contract Appeals. And so the agreement reflects that we're going to wait for the Board of Contract Appeals. They were asked.
I believe that was Mr. Blair's request. He was a very good and decent man when he testified in front of this board. I believe that he said to us, please allow us to make our full argument at the Board of Contract Appeals. That's all we're asking of you.
And that's exactly right. And that's exactly what he said to Secretary Foster. And she said, well, then, if that's all you're asking, isn't it reasonable for you to say that once you get your decision, once we get this decision from the Board of Contract Appeals, that you won't oppose or try to prevent in any way the award of the contract? And he agreed. And that was, we conducted those negotiations. Language was worked out with their lawyers. So it seemed like an appropriate solution to the issue we were facing at the time, which was, how do you extend a contract and ensure that the state is not going through the whole process of dispute and disagreement once
the experts at the Board of Contract Appeals have ruled.
You know, we went through something like this. It was a private sector issue with the Four Seasons project 5 years ago, where we got upset with, I can't remember the name of the company, maybe it was Four Seasons, Hovannadian, for demanding from the local elected officials, in effect, you don't call it a gag order, I assume this is some kind of gag agreement, I guess. And we pounded the table and said that's inappropriate. The Board of Public Works deserves to have access to whomever wishes to exercise their rights. I can understand maybe some things that don't concern the board, but this strikes me as, inappropriate. I am not. I just have some questions, and I assume that if Catalyst is here or someone's here from the other company that was concerned about this, that they're going to be allowed to speak.
Mr. Comptroller,
Board of Public Works.
If I can speak to that, certainly. I did have discussions with the CEO and the chairman of Catalyst. And their lawyers as well. And as Mr. Martin indicated, we reached an agreement on the language that would go in that modification contract. And essentially that said that they would accept the decision of the board as final. It doesn't preclude them from having a conversation with you. But they
agreed. Well, can they appear before the Board of Public Works?
Mr. Comptroller, I don't govern who appears before the Board of Public Works.
The restriction
so the contract, so the agreement, I take it, doesn't bind them to, not be able to have their, I guess, due process before the Board of Public Works.
Well, what it prevents them from is opposing the award of the contract to ESI.
Right.
They have promised that they would take the decision of the Board of Contract Appeals, which, after 6 days of hearings, thousands and thousands of pages of documents, motions and cross motions, resulted in a well-reasoned, lengthy, as you noted, decision from the three members of the Board of Contract Appeals that this was a good procurement done well by the Department of Budget and Management, and that if they got that kind of a decision, they indicated that was enough. They wanted their day in court. And they've had their day in court.
Okay. I just think it's wrong, inappropriate, offensive for the state to be involved in these kinds of negotiations that strip a vendor of rights that every other vendor has. And I particularly don't like the idea that somebody's being told that they can't come and express their opinion before the Board of Public Works. And, by the way, even a cursory reading of the contract appeals decision would give any person pause that if it's legal, something isn't right here. And, I look forward to asking questions of folks, and I hope everyone who's involved in this is here because, it's just, I'm surprised you guys got involved in this. I just don't think it's appropriate.
I'm not surprised you get involved in it, given the scale of it, and I appreciate your honesty, your integrity, and your desire to make sure that an extensive and never-ending use of process after process after process is not used to shortchange the state on a contract that's as large as this. And so I appreciate your doing your duty as you saw it, and I think it is, as you know from having watched the actions of this board, we hear from everybody whenever they want to talk to us. So, and on this matter, there's been no shortage of lobbying that all of us have had, done and explaining done about this contract, the nature of the contract, by both sides. It's a very, very large contract. And both sides, because of the dollars at stake, have understandably retain the best counsel and the best lobbyists they can find. And what we need to do is figure out a way forward and resolve this matter. So, to that end,
Again, I appreciate your integrity and your honesty, and you're doing your duty as you saw it. Mr. Comptroller?
Yes. Well, I take it, Governor. I appreciate that. I appreciate the deferral. I think that's entirely appropriate, and I appreciate your words about anybody being able to appear here and speak. But I want to just find out whether or not there is a restriction on these folks. Is there anybody representing Catalyst or the other companies here?
And Mr. Carolus.
Great. Somebody or somebody can come forward.
Who wants to come forward and talk about this one? At 11:20, as the school districts queue up outside the door for the Hopathon on this matter that was deferred 25 minutes ago.
Message noted, Governor.
Thank you. If you could identify yourself.
Yes, Phil Andrews from the law firm of Cramon and Graham. I'm a lawyer representing Catalyst.
Okay.
I'm not prepared to make remarks. I came as an observer consistent with the agreement that my client signed.
Is your client permitted to address the board?
My client feels that under the current agreement that it is not permitted, and so we have not asked to speak today.
Okay. Well,
we
I think that
like to, but we don't believe we can.
Madam Secretary and Mr. Attorney General, I think you need to revise whatever the agreement is. And this is a $2.5 billion contract, and under no circumstances should we be limiting anyone's right to appear and speak honestly about their concerns.
Again.
And obviously, you as counsel right now, under the current structure, believe your client cannot speak.
That's what I believe. That's what my client believes, yes.
Well, I hope that my Governor and Madam Treasurer, I hope everybody sends a message that's unacceptable.
Thank you. If there are no further questions, I'll step back.
So, Mr. Martin, you know, it's a practical matter. We really don't. I mean, if we're going to defer it, the comptroller's independently elected. If he wants to talk about this and wants to ask some questions, he's going to talk about it and ask him questions. So I appreciate what you were trying to do in that clause. But it certainly doesn't stop, you know, the lobbyists from lobbying everybody. It certainly doesn't stop them from coming here and trying to extend this as long as they can, given the money that's at stake. So we just have to hear from them next week and just do this. So I don't know what the legal recourse is to that.
Well,
you want to tell me that's okay? You guys can do that if you want to.
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right.
We'll talk with the secretary and see how she'd like to proceed. But I gather that we'll have to perhaps amend the agreement to deal with their concerns. Because should they take actions to oppose under this agreement, they would technically be in breach of contract, and we could technically, if necessary, terminate them for cause.
Is there an appeal from the court, from this board? Is what appeal to on this contract?
Well,
appeal is to a circuit court.
Yes.
So they waive their right to do that.
They have waived their right to appeal the decision
of the Board of Public Works.
Of the Board of Contract Appeals. When we say that they've agreed to not oppose formally or informally in any way the award of the contract. I think that would apply to any kind of appeal from the Board of Public Works also.
What do you think about that?
I think it's outrageous. I can't believe the state would enter into that kind of an agreement with a legitimate vendor. And we objected vociferously when it involved public officials. And I just think it's inappropriate. And, you know, but we've decided to move on. I didn't ask you to speak. Someone else did. But I'm happy to happy to defer things for several weeks. But, yeah, I'm troubled by the appearance of this situation. And I hope that you go back and remove that provision because I think it's inappropriate.
Certainly where it applies to the Board of Public Works, and I think he's going to want to ask questions. So I don't know. Let's do this. This is being deferred. It was deferred 29 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And so this is deferred for 2 weeks. In the meantime, how about board counsel gives us some advice on the efficacy of that clause, especially as it pertains to the ongoing appeal. I mean, the fact is that prior to the incumbent vendor having this, there was a vendor that played out due process as far as they could in order to hold on to the contract as long as they could as well. I don't know on contracts this large that there's a way around that. So you'll give us some advice in the meantime?
Yes.
Great. All right. Thanks very much. How about the balance of the Department of Budget Management agenda items? Any questions on that? That item was what number, by the way?
That was item 8.
Item 8 is deferred.
Till the next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Department of Budget Management?
If I could just ask Madam Secretary about item 7S.
Item 7S.
Item 7 extends the inmate pharmacy contract retroactively for 6 months to allow the incumbent to appeal their concerns before the Board of Contract Appeals. So that their concerns can be reviewed and resolved and to allow for a transition to a new contract if that is appropriate.
This is what we requested last week.
This is correct, RX. This is consistent with what the board asked at the December meeting.
Question?
Thank you.
Okay. Controller moves approval, seconded by the treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. I'm sorry, just to be clear, can we vote on the ballot? Are there any other questions anywhere on the DBM? Okay. I had intended, but I didn't make that clear on the record, that that was the balance of the DBM agenda items.
137 were approved, and 8 was deferred.
Okay. Then I guess I did make it clear.
Thank you for clarifying on the record. Though I always appreciate that.
That was the understanding, certainly, when we called the vote. All right. We move on now to the University System of Maryland.
Mr. Evans is here.
Good morning. Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have 8 items on the agenda today. Here to answer any questions.
Any questions, University System of Maryland? Controller moves approval. Seconded by the treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The ayes have it.
Thank you.
Department of Information Technology. Any questions? Department of Information Technology. Elliot Schlanger, Secretary.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Controller.
Controller moves approval, seconded by the treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. Department of Transportation. How's the shoulder?
Good morning. For the record, I'm Secretary Beverly Daly, representing the Department of Transportation. We have 10 items today, as item 8 has been withdrawn. Items 2, 5, and 9 have been revised, and we're happy to answer questions.
Any questions? Mr. Controller.
Item 5, please.
Item 5, the Management and Janitorial Services in Charles County.
We visited this once before. What is the change from I got things mixed up here. This is in Charles County, I guess.
This one is in Charles County.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I got confused. This was the same company that we were concerned about with the I-95 rest stops on the Howard Montgomery line. This was, we were doing the same kind of contract for them, and this just caught my eye. I guess the question is, do you have any update as to what's going on with those two incredibly potentially lucrative areas for public-private partnerships? I compliment the governor or you and your agency on the recent news about the Chesapeake House and others, although I'm sure there will be some questions. But the question I have is, why aren't we doing that with those two locations on the Howard Montgomery line?
Doing more on the public-private type, or we would like to, that those in some cases, and those are on deemed on the interstate, whereas the two up in Harford Cecil County are on, although it's I-95, they're parts of the interstate that were created as toll facilities. You bring up a very good question, and it's in fact one that all of the states have been petitioning to USDOT and to the Congress when there's a reauthorization to in fact allow us. Currently, the federal law precludes us from doing those kinds of things, but you ask a very timely question and one that we're all working on to have to revisit in any new transportation legislation.
Thank you.
So you're saying we're prohibited by federal?
Yes, if it's on a federal, because it's federal interstate built with federal funds, so there are prohibitions against doing certain kinds of public-private activities on those facilities.
It can only be straight-up rest stops without any revenue sources.
Right. We couldn't have used the federal sources. It's a variety. It goes back a very, very long time in terms of where you can and where you can't. But it's a big issue that, as I said, ASHTO and other advocates for transportation are all sort of saying in any new transportation legislation, when we eventually get it at the federal level, it should take out those exemptions so that we can do more of those kinds of things along our interstate.
They do have some vending machines there, Governor, but it's the point is that these would be two veritable gold mines for the state if we turn them into some version of
Maryland.
Especially
with the ICC.
With the, exactly.
Absolutely.
I think Treasurer brings a good point up.
You've touched on an issue that's a national issue that many have recognized. We've been working for a number of years, actually, as we've all been working to get national transportation legislation passed.
Okay. Thank you, Governor.
Okay. The Treasurer moves approval of the Transportation Department agenda item, seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. We move now to the Department of General Services. Al Collins is ill. Do you have the same flu?
Same flu. Good morning again, DeAndre Ransom, for the record. We have 24 items on our agenda. We're withdrawing 8 and 9. 10 was already approved. We'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions? Hearing none, Treasurer moves approval, seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. And now we're going to take a short 2-minute break, switch out the set, and begin begin hearing from the counties. In what order? Alpha or Mega or? Okay, Frederick is first.
Oh, okay. All right. So much time. Okay.